Thank you again for tuning in to another episode of the Prepare Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Bakula. The Prepare Podcast is a Salvation Army podcast where we meet with women of faith and in ministry as they share their experiences and wisdom to prepare and equip us in our faith, pursuits, and callings. This month, we welcome Major Tricia Taube, the Territorial Candidate Secretary. Today, she shares ministry joys, sorrows, and losses, and the affirmations from God that give her hope and encouragement today. Enjoy this conversation with Major Tricia. Hi, Major Trish Taube.
Hi.
Welcome to the Prepare Podcast.
Thank you.
This is a podcast that the Women's Ministries Department produces, and we invite women of faith and in ministry to join us and share about their life and their ministry and their experiences to our listeners to help us become more prepared and equipped in our faith pursuits and callings. So thank you again for joining me and being willing to open up and share a bit.
Very excited to be here.
So, well, first thing is first, for those that don't know who you are Tricia Taube, Major,
yes,
if you will, and you are stationed here at Territorial Headquarters in the Candidates Department, and you're the Territorial Candidate Secretary.
I am.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now that we know those formal things, let's hear who is Tricia Taube.
Well, I'm a mom. I have great kids, all young adults now. I'm a grandma, Grammy T. I have 7 beautiful, amazing, smart, unique grandchildren that I love very much. I'm a widow. I was married for 32 years, and my husband died 9 years ago. And so my journey in the last 9 years has been very different than the bulk of my adult life. And I think for anyone who's gone through that, they know that that's a time of transition that I think I'm still learning. Even though it's been 9 years, I'm still discovering who I am outside of marriage as a single person, which is very weird to say. And, of course, I'm an officer.
I have been an officer, a cadet, an envoy, or a full-time employee of the Salvation Army all of my adult life except for 5 years in my 30s. And even at that time, I was a YPSM and very active in my Corps. So I so much identify with the life of an officer that it's hard for me to imagine anything else. I love, love, love what I do. I want to be a good friend, but I think in the last few years I've recognized that I have not always been a good friend, that I've been too busy or too preoccupied. And so that's something I've been trying to be real intentional on in my life in the last few years. But especially, for some reason, this last year it's been a focus. And over all of that, like really who I really am at the core of myself is I'm a child of God. I am Tricia, who is in love with Jesus, who feels very loved by him. I can't remember a time in my life when I have not known of his love and wanted to be in a relationship with him. And it, of course, has matured over the years, and it's different, very different today than it was when I was a kid, obviously, or even a young adult, or even in my older adult years. Who I am in Christ today is very different. Not necessarily better, just more mature and different.
So is it possible, like you just described, your many years of service in a variety of capacities within the Salvation Army primarily, or wholly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, entirely. Yeah. Are you able to kind of sum up your ministry experiences over the year? Maybe give a soundbite for different roles?
I think if I had to like encapsulate it, I would say that the things that have always been dominant in my ministry have been youth work, discipleship, and helping other people find what God has for them.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, sounds like a guidance counselor, kind of.
It does. Well, you know, 20-plus years as a Corps officer and 9 years at a divisional headquarters in mostly leadership development kind of positions, DY, candidate secretary, and I'm in my 5th year here at Territorial Headquarters in the Candidates Department. And what I do with candidates is not all that different than what I did in women's ministry or in working with teens. It's just much more narrowed down and focused. When you're working with teenagers, it's much broader. You're helping them discover who Christ is and what he wants to do in their life, and hopefully you're discipling them and directing them toward those practices and those learning opportunities that will help them deepen their faith. This was my biggest concern with our teen ministry when I was involved in teen ministry, was that young people can learn how to fit. They learn the vocabulary, they learn what's acceptable, how to look on the outside.
Sure, yeah.
And they can fit so well in your youth group, and they can like belong, and yet deep in their hearts not know Jesus, feel very insecure, feel very afraid, feel very much like they don't belong.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't somehow go beyond the surface and help them find him in their depths, then we lose them. So that was, I think it's the same thing with people who are potential officers or potential leaders in the Corps, is helping them find what God has for them and discover their potential in leadership or their potential in ministry. And I like doing that. I like it. I like being able to say to people, God has something for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that God is very personal. I believe that he does know us as individuals, and he does call us to serve him in ways that are very unique for us.
Sounds like this was natural for you, or was any part of it unnatural? Like, if you look back at who you were before all this, is it kind of like, whoa, can't believe I ended up in these kind of roles? Or is it just like, nope, I always felt like this was the trajectory for me?
It surprises me all the time. I was a bus kid. I went to the Army because my father was very ill, and my mother could no longer leave him alone to take us to church. And I didn't go to the Salvation Army. I went to another church, another denomination. But my mother knew about the Salvation Army, and she took us into the captain's office, Captain William Himes, and said, will your bus pick up my kids for Sunday school? And he said, absolutely. And that began my experience with the Army.
That was Port Huron?
No, that was Royal Oak.
Royal Oak,
mm-hmm.
Okay. And it was Eastern Michigan somewhere.
Yep. And I was pretty shy and pretty, I was just a kid. But I can remember my first Sunday at the Salvation Army and feeling like I belonged there, mm-hmm. like they wanted me. And I think all the rest has only come because I've just really sought after God. I've wanted so much to be his person, mm-hmm. and to know him. When I was appointed as a divisional youth secretary, it was like, I was so excited. I couldn't believe anybody would let me do that. And the candidate secretary part was, it was a part of that, but it was a part I quickly came to love and to just really find satisfaction in. And when I was called in for a conversation with my divisional commander, and he told me that I was under farewell and I was coming here to do this, it just blew me away because I was so excited.
Yeah.
I just couldn't stand it. And I'm still excited. I love what I'm doing. I
yeah.
absolutely love it. I know there will come a time when I'll do something different,
mm-hmm.
but that's okay because the Lord has never disappointed me in what he's allowed me to do for him, and I'm excited to do it.
Well, going along with that, can you share a specific joyful ministry moment that stands out to you in your years of service?
Hmm. We had a youth councils. I think it might have been my last youth councils as a DYS, and we called it Truth Councils, and had these boxes. We made these giant black chalk paint boxes, and they had been kind of stacked up on each side of the platform for the weekend, and the divisional commander for Sunday morning had a brainstorm and said, can we make those the altar? And I thought, yeah. So we spread these boxes out, and they had big question marks on them, spread them out in front and put chalk on all the boxes. And here are these kids, you know, I was in Wisconsin for 20 years. So some of these kids I've known since they were just little bitty things. And there we are at this youth council's, and the altar call is taking place. And I watch these kids come up and pray, which is powerful. If you've ever been to a youth council, you know that is a powerful moment. The altar calls are so powerful. But then, having been invited to leave their cares, to leave a burden or whatever, to write it in chalk, and to watch those black boxes just covered in chalk as young people wrote messages to the Lord, as they wrote out prayers, as they wrote the names of people that they love and care about, and all these things. And in my heart, I knew no matter how hard you feel like you're working, it's always about that. It's always about people connecting with God's desire to come alongside them, to be their Savior, certainly, but also to lift their burdens and also to bear those for them and with them. And I get excited by that. That feeds me, well, my soul.
In ministry, there's going to be moments of joy.
Oh, yeah.
But also moments of sorrow
and
dark times. So can you share a time that God used someone to speak hope into you during a dark time?
My oldest son was an incredible young man, very smart, very capable, very compassionate and loving, who encountered some real difficulties that I didn't even know about real early in life that he carried around. And it led to self-medicating, drug use, alcohol use. And he died of a drug overdose in 2015. And, you know, I've had a lot of losses in my life. You can't get to my age without that. But that just, it hit so hard. And I was so unprepared for the grief, the sadness, the fear. You know, when you love someone who has had so many difficulties in life and they pass away, there's this part of your heart that just breaks because, you know, we have all these answers about eternity and salvation and stuff until they really hit us, until they, you know, until something happens that causes us to question them and wonder. And a couple things happened to me during that time. And one of those was, and I can't name one specific person. One was that the Lord was just so present in my prayer life. I love about the Lord that you can say whatever your heart is feeling. And he hears that, you know. David teaches us that, you know, that we can cry out to him from right where we are. And I did that and a lot. But there were people at my core and my children and people who didn't live close to me at all who sent beautiful, beautiful reminders of how much they cared about me and were praying for me. And those who reminded me of how much they loved and cared about Chris. And I don't know how I would have made it through that time without people coming alongside and just being loving and caring. You know, sometimes we think we have to do big things, and we don't. We just have to care and make sure people know that we care. And that was a really hard time. But it was also a time when I was reminded about why the community, the church, is so important. Because my Bible study women, they just love me. You know, my kids, they just loved on me. And the Lord brought me through it.
I think people get freaked out. They don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. and their fear of doing the wrong thing. They do nothing.
Yeah, and I've been guilty of that.
Yeah,
so
same.
I understand it.
Yeah, but once you've gone through it, you know that all. Sometimes just acknowledge it. Acknowledge that you are going through something, and we see you, and we know what's happening.
Yeah, and you can't take away people's hurt.
Right.
You cannot take it away. But you can come alongside, and you can just, like you say, acknowledge that they're in pain, and remind them that you love them and you care.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we can do.
So is there, I don't know if it connects to this or just overall, is there a piece of scripture, a book in the Bible, a chapter in the Bible that has been life-changing for you?
Gosh, this is going to be such a downer interview.
It's not. I just
finished the book of Ezekiel, and let me tell you, that was
intense.
It was very intense. But no, in 2005, my family went through a really difficult time, and I had all those whys, you know. We always ask those questions, why me, why this, why that? And somebody gave me a book by Oswald Chambers on the book of Job. And so I had to read the book of Job, you know, which I had before. But it's different reading it from a, you know, your own dark place. But I actually gained so much from that. I don't revisit it often. I try to read through the Bible every year, which I'm not always successful at. Just want to make sure I put that out there. Mm-hmm. And nowadays when I get to Job, I just read through it. But at that time, there was just so much about, especially when you get into that conversation, when Job, you know, has said all he has to say and God's just let him do it. And then the Lord comes in and says, now, where were you? Mm-hmm. And some people could interpret that as, you know, smack down to Job. But to me, it's God just reminding me, I am so much bigger than anything you're facing. I am in control. I am Creator God. I have this, and you can trust me. Mm-hmm. And so it was a great book for that time in my life, and it did put me in a new direction. It helped me get my eyes off of my problems and to know that God was in control and to move into that and to trust him in that.
Mm-hmm. Well, now we're going to shift gears a little.
Okay.
And I thank you for your openness and your willingness to share from your life and ministry. So we're going to talk specifically about your ministry right now in candidates. And a few questions I have for you is, what do you want anyone that is considering officership but hasn't maybe told anyone or who is doubting, what do you want them to know?
I think the biggest thing is that it's okay to doubt. In fact, it's probably really healthy to doubt. And if you haven't told anyone, I would find a trusted person, a safe friend, a safe leader, and say, this is something that I feel like the Lord's putting on my heart, and I don't quite know what to do with these feelings or what to do next. And to ask them to pray alongside you, with you, for direction. I think what I would want them to know is this, that if you are putting first things first, if you are truly putting first things first, when the time is right, the doubts will be resolved. I think you're always going to have residual doubts. I just think that's a part of being a follower of Christ, is that, you know, there's a part of us that does say, Lord, am I doing the right thing? Am I going in the right direction? So I think the important thing is to recognize that if you get the first things right, the rest, the Lord will. I mean, what does he promise? He'll direct our paths. He'll open the right doors. He will lead you. So the first thing is make sure that you are getting as close to God as you can get. Mm-hmm. Make him a priority in your life. And that sounds so simplistic, but I'm going to tell you something. We Christians are really good at wearing our Christian hat And then kind of letting all the disciplines that really keep us centered in Christ take the back seat when other things are pressing in. And so you have to just really lean into the Lord, seek Him through His Word, through prayer, through fellowship with other believers, through confidential interactions with people that you trust to pray for you and to be helping you in that, and grow there. And as you grow there, the Lord will, I believe this with all my heart, will more and more open up His will to you and will more and more open up that vision. I hate using that word, but it's, you know, that kind of awareness that He is leading you in a new path. When you, I think we get into trouble when people want to please God and they think pleasing God is something that they have to do in a service way. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you have a young Christian who wants to please God, and they say, their own mind, they might say, the only way I can please God is to go to the mission field. And they perceive in their own understanding that somehow that pleases God. Well, the thing that pleases God is a relationship with Him. And so I don't want anybody to say, oh, I should be an officer because I want to please God. No, please God through your obedience, through your faithfulness, through your discipleship, and let God show you how that's going to be lived out. Mm-hmm. And trust Him to do that, because I believe He does. I believe He's calling people all the time, mm-hmm. all the time, sometimes to officership, sometimes to quit sleeping in on Sunday morning, get up and go teach Sunday school faithfully, mm-hmm. sometimes to say to the officer, you know, I know that it would be ideal if you could be here on Sunday morning to open the doors and greet people as they come in. I'll take the van route on Sunday morning. Mm. You know, obedience has to start right where we are. And then as we're obedient in those things, the Lord opens that up.
Is there a common misconception people have about becoming an officer?
That's a really hard question to answer, because your conceptions about officership are so dependent on your experience with officership. So someone who's really new to the Army will have one view of officership based on their isolated experiences with officers. Someone who's grown up in the Army, who's been a part of the Army culture for their entire life and is into adulthood, will have a much different view of officership because they've experienced it in different settings with different people. I think probably if I had to narrow it down to one thing is that I think there are people who put officership on some kind of pedestal, like it is more or better. When in reality, officership is exercising obedience to step into a very unique kind of leadership and ministry within the context of the Salvation Army. And so I love being a soldier. I'm a soldier at my core. I do what I can based on my schedule to help at the core. I teach Bible study. So I am first and foremost a soldier. And I think that should be true of all of us. We are soldiers, and that's maybe a unusual phrase to use if you're outside of the Army culture, but we are members of a movement, an organization, a church, and I think they're all applicable, that just wants to do serving Jesus well. I'm not a fan of doing the most good, but it is a reality. I mean, we want to do good. We want to reach people, not just to feed them and to clothe them and to house them and to love them, but that they can see Jesus in us and that they can see that the true hope, the real hope that we have in this world is only found in Him. But the reality is that there can be no core, there can be no outreaches, there can be no institutions, there can be no services unless there are people willing to take leadership over those and people to go to hard places and do hard things outside of what is comfortable and known. And I think that's what officership is. It's somebody saying, I want to do this, and I'm willing to do it,
And I feel God calling me to serve in this very unique way, and I will go. There are a lot of unknowns in officership, and I think another misconception is that you have absolutely no control over where you go, how you serve, what you do. In a broad sense, that is really true. We trust our leadership to give us appointments, to assign us where they feel led by God to place us. But the reality is, officers have a lot of input into what those appointments look like. On one part, that's their own preparation. You know, if I feel really called to social services, I'm going to learn everything I can about social services, and I'm going to be able to serve well in that capacity and trust that if that's where God's leading me to be, that the Army is going to facilitate that. On the other hand, we also have the officer consultation review sheets where you can express what you're feeling, what you're doing in your own self-development, where your interests lie. You're allowed to say, I'm really struggling here and I need somebody to come alongside. Or you can also express, I feel like I need to stay in this appointment longer. This is a place where we're doing this, this, and this, and we're developing these things. Now, you can always hear stories about times when people have said, I don't want to move, and I did, or I wanted to move, and I didn't. That's when faith comes in. That's when trusting that the Lord is in control of how we operate comes in. Another thing I would want to touch on is if you're a young person, and you, or even somebody who's well into their adult years, and you're interested in officership, sometimes you allow things you've heard or things that you've formed an opinion on to direct your path instead of getting real information. Some people might feel like, oh, I have all these student loans. There's no way I can even think about officership. Well, we have several options for assisting with student loans and helping you with that as you pursue training and as an officer. Some people might say, well, I own property and I don't want to give up my vacation home, or I don't want to do this or that. You know, we work with people if their income can sustain that and they have the ability to manage their property outside of officership. You know, that's not a limitation. It's just something that you have to enter into with full awareness of what you can and can't afford as an officer. Some people have children who have special needs, and they might say, oh, I can't do this because my child has special needs. But that is not necessarily true either. We do accommodate helping people make the arrangements they need to make while their children are at CFOT, and a child's needs are taken into account when appointments are made. So I would say to anybody thinking about officership, don't limit what God is calling you to based on your own understanding. Seek wise counsel, talk to your DCS, talk to your core officer, explore the options, and put it before the Lord. And if this is something God's calling you to, He's going to open the doors, He's going to make the way, He's going to direct your path. And things change. You know, life changes. Be open to what God's doing to prepare you for and to equip you for officership, but be willing to step into it and ask the important questions if that's what's on your heart.
So what is giving you hope today?
Your generation.
Go ahead. Unpack it.
I love your generation. I absolutely do. I love that you're so honest. I love that you're not afraid. I love that you have passion for the church and for ministry, that you are willing to be transparent and vulnerable. I've learned so much from working with young adults. I think one of the things that really does excite me is that you don't want to maintain the status quo. You don't want to just do enough to get by. You want to change this world, and you are not content to let wrong just be perpetuated. And I have young adults in my family. All my kids are young adults. Mm-hmm. Mom, you can't say that. But I think it's an exciting time for the Army, because it is your Army, and you will continue to influence it and to make it better and better.
And I get a lot of hope from that. You will not deny Christ in your daily lives. You are faithful, but you will make the things that should be priorities, priorities.
I like that. Thank you. That gives me some hope. Because when you're caught up in it, it's hard to see.
Yeah.
Like, is this right? Is this good? Is this...
Is anybody listening?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are we supposed to be saying what we're saying or what?
Yeah. In fact, I'm still on Facebook, although I know most people abandon it. Facebook, Twitter. And I love watching what you guys post. I love when you speak out against evil and when you speak up for good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's exciting. It is really exciting.
Well, thank you, Major Tricia, for giving me part of your afternoon and sharing from your heart. And
it's not at all what I thought it would be. So,
I'm so interested to know what you thought it would be. We'll talk about that
another time.
off the record.
Happy back.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.
It's always good to hear someone share in an honest and transparent way that reminds you that you are not alone and others have walked rough paths with the reminder that God is always with you. Thank you, Major Tricia. Listeners, we hope you leave today feeling prepared and equipped for tomorrow. See you next time.